அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும் வரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹி வபரகாத்துஹ். அல்ஹம்துலில்லாஹி வகஃபா வஸ்ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாமு அலா சையிதினில் முஸ்தஃபா ஸல்லல்லாஹு அலைஹி வஅலா ஆலிஹி வஸ்ஹாபிஹி வபாரக வஸல்லம தஸ்லீமா கஸீரன் கஸீரா. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا إذ جاءوكم من فوقكم ومن أسفل منكم وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَا هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, we have been discussing the battle of Ahzab, also referred to as the battle of the trench. As I mentioned last week, that it is not possible to go into all the details of the battle and of the history. However, we take lessons from some of the incidents that occurred during that battle. You are familiar by now of the situation that the Muslim Ummah had found themselves in, and in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not that they were left without Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had parted, he had passed away, and then this happened. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present, and no one is more closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody's du'as were more maqbool than the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody was more keen on inviting the people towards the deen of Islam and seeing them save themselves from the azab and the fire of Jahannam than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah ta'ala, in His wisdom, He knows what He does. And there is great wisdom in whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does. We cannot question Allah ta'ala's decisions, because we cannot understand why Allah ta'ala causes certain things to happen. We only realize after it has happened that how much of goodness there must have been in what had happened. So many times an incident takes place, and at that time we consider that to be the worst thing that could have happened in our lives. And na'uzu billah, sometimes we harbor also certain kinds of ill feelings or some kind of unhappiness about the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But after the time has passed, and when we begin to ponder and reflect over that incident that took place in our lives, which we considered to be the worst and which we consider to be the most harmful, then we begin to think of how many good things came out of that particular incident. How many times we say later on that whatever had happened, there was real goodness in it, because I took so much of lessons from that. And now I can chalk my way through, I can plan my life. I have brought about a change in my life because of this incident, which I considered to have been terrible. But there was great wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, and it brought so much of goodness for me. So that is what happens in most people's lives, that they think of it afterwards. So here Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions, they are under siege. And it was a kind of a siege that we cannot even imagine. There was no outside help that could have come in. The Banu Qurayza, who had entered into an alliance with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were the Yahudis or the Jews who were living in Madina Tayyiba, and they had entered into an alliance. They had agreed that if there was going to be a war or anything of or any attack on Madina Tayyiba, then they are not going to side the enemies. This pact they had entered into long before. And Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know that he always kept to his promises. If he had entered into any agreement even with the disbelievers, then he always kept to his side of the contract and terms of agreement. He never violated that. It was only after it was violated by the other side Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was forced by circumstances then to take action. But otherwise he never violated it from his side. So here there was a pact, there was an agreement. But yet Huyay bin Akhtab, who was leading the Jews on the alliance that had been formed, or in the alliance that had been formed of the Quraysh and of the Kuffar, of the Mushrikeen of Makkah, the Kuffar of Makkah, and all the other tribes that were in between, and together with that, the Jewish tribes, which were being led by Huyay bin Akhtab, now he went over to Ka'b bin As'ad, who was the leader of the Banu Qurayza. And he told him, he said that this pact that you have entered into and this agreement that you have with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course he didn't say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said with Muhammad. So this pact and this agreement that you have with him is going to bring about tremendous amount of disgrace and humiliation upon you. So you must not stick to this treaty. You must support us, because I have brought such an army along. We have got such an army, and they are so well armed and they are so prepared that they are not going to leave Madinah Tayyibah until each and every Muslim has been destroyed. He says, therefore, if you are not going to side us, the moment we are going to overtake Madinah Tayyibah, I'm giving it to you in my own words, but he said, if you are not going to side us, so that you can relate to it with what is happening, he said, if you are not going to side us, then when we are going to take over Madinah Tayyibah, then you will also be destroyed in the process. And if for some reason or the other we have to leave, then too these people are going to bring about tremendous amount of problems for you. So Ka'b bin As'ad, he said that with this Prophet of Allah, or with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I have never experienced any kind of problem. I found him to be very honest, very truthful, and very true to his word. Now, although he was leading the Jewish tribe, but he said that this is my experience. But then when Huyay bin Akhtab went on and on giving him the benefits and the so-called virtues of joining that alliance, and he said, if you are going to attack the Muslims from inside Madinah Sharif and we are going to attack from the outside, then the victory is ours, and after that we will take control over the whole of Arabia. So finally he fell for the temptation and for that bait, and he said that I am prepared to also join you. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to know of this treachery of another Jewish tribe, so when he sent his emissaries to go and find out, immediately Ka'b bin As'ad, he denied. He said, which pact you are talking about? Which agreement are you talking about? Who is that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you are referring to? As if he knew nothing of what had happened. Now this is history. That this is what the Muslims have experienced over and over and over. Right from that time up till now, how many experiences the Muslim Ummah has had of the treachery of those people who in their hearts harbor nothing but jealousy and hatred for those who profess faith in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But yet, because of monetary gain, because of material gain, because of worldly gain, and because of land, or because of post, or because of position of honor, or because of a kingdom, or because of a crown and a throne, they are not prepared to side with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are prepared to go hook, line and sinker with those who claim that they will bring them respect, they will bring them honor. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there is a long history after that what happened to that Banu Qurayza tribe. But I'm just taking a few lessons from this incident. We have already discussed at length most of the aspects. Now let us look at one or two things that happened in this battle. At the time of the digging of the trench, of course there were many, many more mojizats that took place, but at the time of the digging of the trench, one of the things that happened was that they came across a boulder. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had made groups of 10, 10, 10, and Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, and Salman the Persian, who was the one that initiated this idea and who had given his view on what are the benefits of digging the trench around, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had accepted that idea. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had appointed 10, 10 people. So Hazrat Salman was also part of one of those groups who were digging the trench. It was just one of those things, because again, as I said earlier, that Allah Ta'ala has got wisdom in everything that He does. That all the others were digging as if there were angels were holding their hands, because to dig 3.5 miles and in such a short period of time and that rocky earth, it was not an easy thing. But they were just digging and going on, not worried about food, not worried about drink, because there was hardly any food or drink. There was such starvation and poverty in Madinah at that time. as you have already heard, that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was tying two stones on his belly due to the hunger and starvation that he was suffering. Now, could not Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have made dua? Could not have Allah ta'ala send down the angels from the heaven with the dastarkhan? He could have, but again, Allah ta'ala's wisdom in everything that he does. So here there was such poverty and severe winter. We are talking about severe winter of Madina Sharif. Now the things have changed, times have changed. We do not get those kind of winters anymore. We're talking about the global warming and all the rest of it. Those winters are gone. But those who went to Madina Tayyiba about 50, 60 years ago, or 40 years ago also, ask them what was it like there in December. The severe cold, extremely cold wind that was blowing at that time, and no clothes on their bodies, and they are digging the trench, and they are surrounded by enemies all sides, armed up to the teeth, and those enemies are dancing, and they say, we have put a siege around Madina Tayyiba. Where are you going to go? As it is, you have no food. As it is, you have no clothing. As it is, you are suffering starvation and poverty. Your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised you nothing but deception and lies, na'uzu billah. If he was the Prophet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then where is that help and the nusrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Now all these type of tauntings and jeerings and mocking and teasing and all that was carrying on, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is engaged in the digging of the trench. So Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, he was allocated also a section, or with those 10 people he was also digging. Now all the others were moving rapidly and very speedily, and here Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala comes across a big huge boulder which he just cannot crack. All 10 of them try to crack, but they cannot crack. They invite the others to do so, but they cannot. So they reported to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I am saying that we are taking lessons. Now take the lesson from here. It was suggested that if we cannot crack this boulder that is here because of the, it is difficult, then we can always go round it. We can go round it and extend it. So it will still mean the same thing. But what did they say? They said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own hands he drew this line here. So we are not going to go anything beyond that until we have not consulted him. This was their obedience, implicit obedience to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The help of Allah ta'ala, the nusrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, always came to the Muslims when they obeyed Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not obey their aqal and their intelligence. There are two things, ek hai insan ki nazar aur ek hai khuda ki khabar. Insan ki nazar kuch kehti hai aur khuda ki khabar kuch kehti hai. Hum kis ki baat ko manenge, Allah ki khabar ko ya hamari nazar ko? Now if we only understand this, that one is what we see with our eyes, and one is the information given by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One is what Allah ta'ala has revealed to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The khabar, for example, of Allah ta'ala is that those who take interest must prepare for war with Allah ta'ala. It's an announcement. Now nobody can fight Allah ta'ala's might and power. Now if that person is growing and growing, then we think that look, how can this ayat of the Quran Sharif be true? Look at this person, he is progressing. And here on the other hand, Allah ta'ala says that no, Allah ta'ala brings about destruction upon that person who takes riba. So now who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe that which our eyes see, or are we going to believe what Allah ta'ala says? If we are going to believe that which our eyes see, then sooner or later we will see that destruction. So we have to accept the khabar of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's khabar says that when a person gives charity, when a person gives a donation, when a person gives in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he gives to all the good causes, then Allah ta'ala multiplies it. Allah ta'ala multiplies it minimum 10 times. Now our eyes see something else, that if I gave 1 rand from 10 rands, it becomes 9. And Allah ta'ala says he multiplies it. Now who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe Allah Ta'ala, or are we going to believe our eyes? Now this is where Iman is being tested. So here also, of course there are so many examples we can give, but that's a different subject. So here their Iman was being tested. Now here Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was consulted, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam did not say go round the boulder. What he said, give me that pickaxe. Now he took that pickaxe and he knocked. When he knocked, there was light that shone from it. And Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam said, Allahu Akbar. And it cracked. 1/3 of that rock cracked. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given him such strength and such quwwat that with his one knocking of that boulder, it was already cracked into one third. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, looking at that light, he said, Allahu Akbar. Then he hit the pickaxe for the second time, and it cracked further, and again some light shone from when he hit it onto the rock, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahu Akbar. The third time he did the same thing, and the rock was into smithereens, and they dug the trench. But Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was nearby, so he asked Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam that three times this is what I saw. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, did you see? He said, yes. He says, well, when I struck for the first time, Allah ta'ala showed me that the palaces, he showed me the red palaces of the Roman Empire. He says, all those buildings, the white palaces of the Roman Empire, I was shown those buildings. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed me that your ummah will conquer those lands. Then when he knocked again for the second time, and that spark in the spark, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw, and he informed Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala an, that I was shown the palaces of the Persian Empire. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed me that your ummah is going to conquer those lands. Then again I was shown those of Yemen, and as if I am seeing the doors of Yemen in those sparks. Now the television was invented only recently, so why should we have any kind of doubt now in this modern day age and time? These pictures, where are they coming from onto our television screen? So if Allah Ta'ala could have given Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that kind of sight, that he saw it in those sparks, what is our doubt? Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this is what I have been shown, that your ummah will conquer those lands and your kingdom will spread, and in other words, the flag of Islam will move throughout the world. Now here again their iman was being tested. Now if we had been from amongst those munafiqeen, and I have great doubt that we would have been from those who really and truly believed in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at my own actions, I have the greatest doubt that I would have been so solid in my iman as the Sahaba-i-Kiram had been. Allah Ta'ala protects us sometimes. People say, how nice if we were born in the time of the Sahabas. Indeed, it would have been very, very nice if we had been Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, if we had been Umar Farooq, if we had been Usman Ghani or Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, or if we had been one of his other companions, then indeed it would have been good. But with our kind of actions, and with our kind of weakness, and with our kind of munafiqat and hypocrisy, if we had been in his time, Allah ta'ala only knows in which section we would have been. So therefore we must make shukr again in whichever condition Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keeps us, and in whichever zamana He causes us to be born. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he predicted these things, that this is what is going to happen. Now again, look at the test of their iman. Here they are at their weakest. If you can really think of it, they were at their weakest. When the Sahaba-i-Kiram, Allah ta'ala says, that the thoughts began to come into their minds. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala says, هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. This is where the believers were really tested, and they were given a shaking, a terrible shaking. Now if Allah Ta'ala says that, we can just imagine what kind of test must have come upon them. That there's a siege, and 26 days a siege. No food, starvation, poverty, no clothes. And it seems as if they are going to just come in and devour. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then camps for 3 days and 3 nights, and he makes dua upon dua upon dua, and then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him the glad tiding. But what I am saying is that at that time when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made these predictions, those who have laying the siege, when this message reached them, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who is under siege, and this is what he is predicting, that you will control the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire will fall at your feet, and Sana'a of Yemen and everything he is predicting. So they were making a mockery of it. This, and the words that they used was that your Prophet, Na'uzu Billahi min Zalik, he says he cannot even find a place to go and relieve himself during the day because of the siege. And he is talking about kingdoms of Persia and of Roman Empire. But he cannot even go and relieve himself during the day. He has to wait for the night, and he has to go and find some place of seclusion to go and relieve himself. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. This was the type of taunting, this was the type of laughing and mocking that they were doing. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala at that time tested the iman of the believers. And none of them said that that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in these type of conditions, in this type of situation, when we are so weak, we do not even have clothes on our bodies, we do not have sufficient food, we are tying stones on our bellies, and you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in spite of your being the Rasul of Allah ta'ala, and in spite of your being the Mahbub of Allah ta'ala, and in spite of your being so close to Allah ta'ala, you too have to tie stones on your bellies, then how are you making such kind of predictions? None of them said that. In fact, what did they say? They said, Sadaqallahu wa Rasuluh. Whatever Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, it is nothing but the truth. They believed very, very firmly and strongly. Their conviction became even more stronger. In fact, Allah ta'ala says it increased nothing but their iman. When they saw the forces coming, it said it increased nothing but their iman, because that is what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had predicted. So in the light of whatever is happening, again the time expires very, very quickly on a Friday. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to take lesson. Inshallah we will continue in another fortnight's time. But in the light of what is happening, the type of bombs they have been throwing, and especially yesterday with inside information, the type of bunker bombs they have thrown, which will cause earthquakes anyway. These merciless, inhuman terrorists that you can call, unconcerned about the loss to civilians that are there, and that is the people that they are causing harm to, just flattening their homes in the outskirts there, or inside Kabul, or in Kandahar and wherever it is. And what they are doing is just destroying the masajid, they are destroying the homes, they are destroying the people, taking the lives of them, and then they throw a few hampers on the borders and they say that we are not fighting the Afghan people, we are just fighting the terrorists. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. And yet the Muslim Ummah is in a daze. The Muslim Ummah is nothing but doing that which those hypocrites of Madinah Tayyibah and the hypocrites in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did, siding the enemies of Islam, because they thought that if we are going to side the enemies, we will get respect, we will get honor, we will get kingdom, we will not be attacked, we will not be chased out of our kingdoms, our oil and our gold and our silver will remain in our hands, and therefore they are siding them. Brothers, we can do nothing but cry from within the deep recesses of our heart for the Muslim Ummah at large. But again I repeat, that it is only when we too will bring Islam and Iman into our lives, the teachings of Allah and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will come into our lives, and at large Ummah, the Ummah at large, then you see how Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and nusrat will come. After so much of sacrifices by now in Palestine, Kashmir and other parts, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and should have come, and Allah Ta'ala's angels would have descended, and the same miracles we would have witnessed, just as was witnessed in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But in conclusion, I wish to say that this is where our problem lies. After my repeated majlises and talks, one young person who started coming recently, and he says, Maulana, I can now relate to your talks. He says, because I used to be in the front line of distributing posters when I was in the university, distributing posters and organizing the protest marches and doing this and doing that and everything and shouting and screaming at the top of my voice, anti-American slogans and all the rest of it. He says, but I can relate to you now, because there is no doubt that that was only just zahir, it was just outwardly, the outward show. In fact, I used to encourage those girls to join us because we had other motives behind it. He says, after those programs, what we used to do, Allah Ta'ala must make us maaf. And also he says that, Maulana, I wish to confess. I said, bhai, there's no need to confess before me, confess before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and ask Him for forgiveness. He says, no, but as a lesson for those that you always keep on addressing in the congregation, that after our programs, or in fact in our lives, something that was very dominant was that we used to take prostitutes to the hotels and we used to indulge in all kinds of haram. And he says, on the other hand, he used to find us in the front line when it came to the protest marches and the organizing of all this kind of rallies and other things. Now this is from a young person from the university who have recently started attending the majlises. He says, I have made sincere tawbah from all those evils. So we must participate in the rallies if they are organized Islamically, participate in the other protest marches, and participate in all other functions wherever these type of atrocities against the Muslim Ummah is highlighted. But what we have to understand, that it must be for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, it must be within the parameters of Islam and the Quran and the Sharia, and there must be no violation of the ahkam of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For if we are thinking that by displeasing our Allah we are going to get any kind of victory, then we are fooling ourselves, no one else but ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala assist and help the Mujahideen of Afghanistan, of Palestine, of Chechnya, of Bosnia, Kashmir, Africa and everywhere. Make a lot of dua for them. Don't wait for the imams to make dua after the namazes. After the namazes, they have to make short dua because people are completing their namazes and other, and some people have to get away. But we should spend more time in duas instead of just idle chit-chat and gossip about what is happening in the world. And then see what the effects of those dua will be. As I mentioned last night, that inside information is this, that up till day before yesterday or yesterday, with all that bombing that they took, it's mostly civilians that have lost their lives. Hardly one person from the forces of the Taliban was really affected. But even if they are affected, as I said, and even if all of them, may Allah Ta'ala protect them, but even if all of them have they lose their lives, then too we will be proud to say that there was a nation that withstood the enemy's forces, like the Sahaba-e-Kiram withstood the enemy's forces in the Battle of the Trench. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.